hold on to your hats. Okay, we had a discussion of how could David HaMelech marry two sisters, right? Merav and, what was the other ones? Michal. So Rabbi Yossi comes up with a simple answer. He says, well, one died first. Finished. Rabbi Shua ben Korcha, much more complex answer. And said, no, the first Kiddushin was by mistake. Because why? That he married her with a Kiddushe Ta'os. Was a, what do you call it, a mistaken Kinyan. He thought by forgoing the debt that King Shaul owed him, he could marry Merav. And they found out they can't do that. So Mekadesh B'milva is not Kona. And then what about the second wife? Even the second wife there was, and that was learned off from a verse. Remember, it says, give me my wife, Michal, my wife. Meaning to say the first one was not my wife, because it was a mistaken marriage. And then the Gemara went on and said, but even the second wife wasn't so simple, because since he was marrying her with those foreskins, and it seems that he was forgoing the debt again. So what was the main intention? Was it on forgoing the debt or on the foreskins? Or we said, no, maybe the whole question is, are the foreskins worth a penny or not? That was the whole issue. Be that as it may, Rabbi Shua ben Korcha's opinion is, how did he marry two sisters? The first marriage was an invalid marriage. And even the second one, it was a debate between David and Shaul if he was even married to Michal, right? Now, what we're going to have to do is, how does Rabbi Yosei understand things? Because he says it was the first one died. So what's all this thing about that she is my wife and all that? How he's going to learn it, it gets complicated. Yes?
So, quick question on the fact that on the second marriage where he gave him the foreskins as well, how would we even have like a thought that it goes about what Shaul thinks? So like it's going on the debt. Like, David is the one giving the thing that has value, why would
it
even go
wrong? Well, it's a machlokas. What was David's main thought? For going the debt or giving the penny? It's a machlokas. What is the what would have been the main thing? And I guess, you know, you just do both. Which one is considered the main one or not? So Shaul thought one was, and David thought the other one was. You know, that's all there. Okay, now Rabbi Yossi, it gets complicated, guys. All right? One second. Let's just back it up. Really, let me just back it up one line. Okay, now, for Rabbi Yossi, right? Rabbi Yossi, who gave the first answer. So now, when it says, Tuna is ishti as Michal, my Dorishba, how does he understand, give me my wife, Michal? Which implies that only Michal was his wife and not Merav. Remember, how did the second rabbi learn? Second rabbi learned he never was married to Merav. Never. It was a mistaken marriage. It was like zero. That's why he says, give me my wife, Michal, because she's my only wife. But according to Rabbi Yossi, who says, no, Merav was his wife, was certainly his wife. She died. So now how do you explain, give me my wife, Michal, mean to say, only she was my wife. Well, the first one was his wife too. She just died. So how is he going to learn this? See, you understand the question? The whole drasha of Shua ben Korcha was to say that when he said, give me my Michal, my wife, that means I've never had a wife before. Why? Because the first one was never in a valid marriage. But according to Rabbi Yossi, said he did have a wife before. He had Merav. She just died. So what are you going to do with the fact, give me my wife, Michal, which implies that he never was married to Merav. So what's he going to do with this? This is where it gets very complicated. Rabbi Yossi l'taimei, Rabbi Yossi is going to be consistent with his opinion that he expresses somewhere else. Tetanya Rabbi Yossi, hayadoresh mikros merav. Rabbi Yossi would take these different verses and interchange them. And let's see what he's interchanging over here. Ksiv, it says, Vayikach HaMelech Eshnei B'nei Ritzpa Bas Aya Asher Yolda L'Shol Es Armoni Ves Mephibosheth. It says like this. King David took the two sons of Ritzpa, the daughter of Aya, okay, that she bore to Shaul. Now, who are the two sons? Armoni and Mephibosheth. Okay, these are the two sons of Shaul. He took these two fellows, but that's not the important part of the pasuk. He also took Veschameshes b'nei Michal. He took the five sons of Michal. Now, that's going to be a problem because Michal did not have five sons, as we'll see shortly. But let's see now. Five sons of Michal, who's the daughter of Shaul, obviously. Asher Yolda la'Adriel, that she bore to Adriel. She gave birth to from Adriel ha-Mecholasi, the Mecholte. Okay, wait a minute. Let's don't ask anything yet because I didn't give you enough information yet to confuse you. Okay, so he took these two sons of Shaul. He took the five sons of Michal. Okay, that she bore to Adriel, the Michalasite. Right now, there's a problem because it says that Michal bore children to Adriel. And here's the problem. V'chil Adriel nasna, but did Shaul give Michal to Adriel? No, he didn't. Remember, Shaul didn't. Both daughters, he had problems with David. He married both daughters to different people, right? Meirav, he married. He said, "Well, the marriage without marriage, I'm giving her to somebody else." That was Adriel. That's the question. That's the problem. And Michal, he also contended it was not a marriage. Well, David did say it was a marriage. Right, that was not so clear. So he gave it to somebody else. So the question is, V'chil Adriel nosno? Did Shaul give Michal to Adriel? He didn't. Rather, we know the famous story, V'alola Palti ben Laish nosno. He gave Michal, Shaul gave Michal to Palti ben Laish. When David was on the run, Shaul said, you know what? This David rotten creep, you know what? He never was married to my daughter. Never was married, because even though he gave me the foreskins, but really, it wasn't, for whatever reason, it wasn't a good marriage. Now, David maintained it was a good marriage. Now, as opposed to the first case with Meirav, they both agreed it wasn't a good marriage. Okay, you with me here? But here's the debate. And he gave it to Palti ben Laish. How do we know this? Dichsiv, it says, V'shol nasanis Michal bito eishes David lapalti ben Laish. Shol gave Michal, his daughter, who was the wife of David, to Palti ben Laish. So what's going on? How do we understand the pasuk? How could it say that David took Michal, the five sons of Michal that were born, that she gave birth to Adriel, which is not true. She didn't. She was never married to Adriel. So therefore, we have to mix the two pasukim. Ella, what do we got to do? Hello, Makish. We have to make a hekish. We have to compare. Kiddushe Meirav l'Adriel, the marriage of Meirav to Adriel, l'Kiddushe Michal l'Palti. But we're trying to compare the marriage of Meirav to Adriel to the marriage of Michal to Palti ben Laish. And how are we comparing them? And that's why we're interposing the psukim here. Ma Kiddushe Michal l'Palti abeir, just as Michal's marriage to Palti was in sin, because Michal was still married to David as much as Shaul thought it wasn't. No, it was like David. He was still married. Okay? Because now here's the point. How do we know that? Look at 24. We know that David's marriage to Michal was valid, for David stated inequivocally, my wife Michal. That's what my wife Michal means. She is my wife. Furthermore, as stated in Kiddushin, the law is that a man who attempts to betroth the woman with a loan and a pruta has his mind and the pruta, and therefore the Kiddushin is valid. So it was his wife. So we're comparing Shaul, when he married off his daughter Michal to Palti, just like that one was with a sin, Af Kiddushe Meirav Ladriel Baver, so too was Meirav's marriage to Adriel also sin, because she was also married to David as well. And that's what Rabbi Yossi's point is, that David's marriage to Meirav was valid. That's what he learns from that pasuk.
How does he know that his mind was on the pruta and not on the law?
He said, my wife.
That's the key.
My wife. Right? The verse cited by Yeshua ben Korcha, give me my wife Michal, should be interpreted in a similar way. Since these names are interchangeable, as we say, five sons of Michal that bore Tadriel, it cannot be inferred from David's statement, my wife Michal, that Meirav was not his wife. Effectively, Rav Yossi does not agree with Rav Shua Mekarcha's assertion that David attempted to betroth Merv through the invalid method of canceling Saul's commitment. Right? He doesn't hold that at all. He said it was never Meichel on the first one. Rav Yossi holds he was valid married to both. It's a machlokes. What happened?
How does he say the first one was valid if it was canceling the loan?
Because he says that that's not what David did. He didn't do it by canceling the loan. He just disagrees with that whole idea. He never did that. He didn't cancel the loan. He married a regular.
But what was the conclusion based on that?
Whatever. He gave her a ring.
Doesn't say he gave her.
Doesn't say he didn't.
The other one that says he gave her.
No, that's not the Pasuk. Pasuk doesn't say it. Pasuk doesn't say it was Meichel. He has a tradition with Meichel. They're arguing what happened. What happened with the first Kedushin with David and Merav? Did he marry her by forgoing the loan, or did he marry her in a regular way? And that's a machlokes. And that's what he's saying. So really, Rav Yossi is saying that both marriages that Shaul arranged to take him away from David were both wrong. Rav Shua ben Korcha learns that the first marriage was a mistaken marriage. Rav Yossi argues on that and says it was not a mistaken marriage. He did not marry her with a loan. Rav Shua ben Korcha says he did marry her with a loan. Okay, different traditions. According to Rav Yossi, David affected the Kedushin by some other means that is not described in Scripture. See, it does not describe in Scripture. So that's their machlokas. So he's saying they both were sinful. Aye, so what's Rav Shua ben Korcha going to do with this crazy pasuk? At least, how do you say that Michal had five kids, right? Yeah. Well, according to Rabbi Yossi, we're just comparing the marriages, that they were both invalid marriages, all right? But according to Rabbi Shua, they weren't. The first one was not invalid. How do you compare? What's the, how can you learn the pasuk? Shua ben Korcha, Nami, aye, Haksiv, what are you going to do with the pasuk? Es chamesh mei Michal bas Shaul, the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Shaul, she was married to Adriel. She wasn't born to Adriel. Amalei Rabbi Shua, he says like this, V'chi Michal Yol, did Michal indeed give birth to them? We know that's not true. V'alo Merav Yol, we know Merav gave birth to them. As it says in Chronicles, it says, so the answer is, Merav Yolda, Merav gave birth to them, but Michal Gidlo, Michal raised them. L'fikach Nikral Shmo, therefore they're called on her name. In other words, she didn't give birth to them, but remember, Gemara says the fine golden rule, L'lamdecha to teach you, Shekol ha-megadol yosem besoch beso, anyone who raises an orphan in his house, Malava kasekil yod, the Torah considers as if he fathered or mothered him. So therefore, we're calling her Michal's five kids because she raised the five kids. So now we have a consistent machlokes through and through. Rabbi Yossi says that, final question is, how did David marry two sisters? Two approaches. Rabbi Yossi says he married one sister, died, and then married the second sister. The first sister was a valid marriage, and so too was the second sister a valid marriage. Okay? And found a different way to make Kiddushin. And therefore, both of Shaul's betrothals of these two women were illegal, because both of David's initial marriages were legal. According to Shua ben Korcha, no. He holds the first marriage was by mistake, and therefore he can marry the second sister, because the first marriage was totally invalid. That's the conclusion how David is able to marry two sisters. Now that we mentioned the fact that someone who raises an orphan is as if he gave birth to them, we're now going to segue into that topic for a while. And then we'll come back to this brisa dealing with Palti ben Laish, and we'll see a beautiful Gemara on that. Okay, here is the mnemonic, so you all remember this. Chanina, Kara, Yochanan, Ve'ishto, Elazar, Ugeula, Ushmul, Bilimudai. That's the siman to remember all this for us. So we start with Chanina. Rabbi Chanina Omer Mehach, Rabbi Chanina says, no, we can learn the fact that you raise a child, it's like you give birth to them. It's not from this pasuk with Michal and the five sons, but I have another source. This is the book of Ruth. When Ruth gave birth to the kid, what did the old lady say when she gave birth to the, what did they say? Vatikranu l'ashchena, shame, they gave the boy a name, Lamer saying, Yulad ben l'Nomi, a child was born to Nomi. Now, Nomi didn't give birth to anybody. Vechi Nomi yolda, did Nomi give birth? V'lo Ruth yolda, Ruth gave birth to her. Ela Ruth yolda, v'Nomi godla, but Ruth gave birth to her, but Nomi raised the child. Therefore, they say it's was his name is identified with her. So therefore, so you see from this an expanded idea. Before we said anyone who raises an orphan. Now this was not an orphan in the total sense because Ruth was alive the whole time. Okay, Boaz died, so he was an orphan from the father, but not from Ruth. Okay, now we have a third opinion where we learned this source from. Yochanan Rehacha, Rabbi Yochanan said we learned from her. The Ishta, we're talking about Kalev's wife. Kalev ben Yefuna, his wife. The Ishto and his wife, her name, HaYehudis, okay, the Yehudis, okay, Yehudis. Yolda, she gave birth to as Yered. She gave birth to Yered, Avigdor, etc. Okay, so, and it goes on, etc., other things, Hever, father of Socha, Yikusel, father of Zanoch, fine, etc. Ela b'nei Bisya, these are the sons of Bisya, Bas Paro, the daughter of Paro, Asher lo kach lo Mered, which a fellow by the name of Mered married her. Whew, there's a lot of names over here. It gets a little confusing. Now let's look at the commentary. Bisya, her name was not Basya, by the way. Everybody makes this mistake. The daughter of Paro was not Basya. Her name was Bisya. Okay, that's one thing we at least remember from today. Bisha was the daughter of Paro. She was called Yehudeya, meaning the female equivalent of Yehudi, because Yehudi means someone who believes in God and not in idolatry, and she gave up idolatry. So, his wife, so Kalev ben Yefuna, his wife was Yehudiyas, whatever, gave birth to Yered and Avigdor. Now, question is, Asher Lokach Mered, who Mered took. Now, what it seems to say, well, is it Kalev? Is it Mered? Gemara now says, Mered said Kalev. Mered is Kalev. Even though they call him Mered, they call him Kev. So why they call him, what's the word Mered mean? What's the root of the word Mered?
Rebellion.
Rebellion. So what do you know about Kalev? Did he ever rebel in his life against somebody?
Spies.
The spies. Spies. Very good. V'loma nikra shmo Mered? Why is he called Mered? Shemarad Batsasman. He rebelled against the spies. He was one of the only two who went against them. But wait a minute. But who did she give birth to? V'chi Bisya Yoldo. Did Bisya give birth to Moshe? How do you know it's Moshe? Because one of the names, we have a couple names there, and one of them was what? Avi Zanoach, right? Avi, which one do we say? Avigdor. Avigdor, a.k.a. Moshe. It seems to say Bisya gave birth to Moshe, because another name for Moshe was Avigdor. All right? So what's going on? Did she give birth to him? Valo Yocheved Yolda. Yocheved gave birth to him. Answer is, El Yocheved Yolda. Yocheved gave birth to her. Ubisya Gidla. And Bisya raised him when she took him out of the river, and she took care of him for a while. Lafikach Nikra Alshma. Therefore, he is identified as Bisya's child. Okay, that's the third source. That even though if you raise a kid, it's like you gave birth to him. Here comes the fourth source. Rabbi Elezer, Amar Me'achar. Let's start from here. It says in Tehillim, Ga'alta Bizroa Amecha, with a powerful arm you redeemed your people, B'nei Yaakov V'Yosef. The children of Yaakov and Yosef Selah. Now, question is, V'chi Yosef, did Yosef father all the tribes? What are you talking about? It was the 12 tribes, it was Yaakov. Follow Yaakov, Yolad. Yaakov gave birth to the 12 tribes. So why are you saying Yosef also? Answer is this week's Parsha. Elo Yaakov, Yolad, V'Yosef, Kilkil. Yosef gave birth, Yaakov gave birth, but Yosef sustained them. And that's exactly this week's Parsha. Lefika, therefore, Nikra, Shmo. Therefore, they're referred to as the children of Yosef. Now, that's raising a child. Similar idea, but a little different context. Amar Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman, Reb Yochanan. That rabbi says, Kol ha-melamed ben chaver, anyone who teaches his friend's son Torah, ma'alav ha-kaskil, it's as if her considers if he raised him himself. And what's the proof for that? Shenamar, it says later on in the book of Bamidbar, Ve'ela told us Aaron and Moshe, these are the children of Aaron and Moshe, and now the Torah only lists the children of Moshe, Aaron, and not the children of Moshe. Uksiv, and then it says, Ve'ela shmos ben, these are the sons of Aaron. But it says these are children of Aaron and Moshe, but only this is the sons of Aaron. So what's going on? Lomer left to teach you. Aaron Yolad, Aaron gave birth, was the father for them. But Moshe taught them Torah. Lefikach nikra al shmo, therefore they consider on his name. So now, not only do you raise a child, now that makes sense. One is raising physically, and teaching Torah is raising spiritually. So that is like his child.
Funny though, it says these are Moses, Moses the father, for this reason, but it doesn't list his own children at all.
Because the Torah doesn't, it's not important, they didn't become anything important. Aaron's, the Torah is not an almanac. It only tells people we need to know. Moshe's children were of no consequence for the Jewish people, while all of Aaron's were. Mm-hmm. That's why it mentions them. Another pasuk. Okay, another pasuk about raising children. Pasuk says in Isaiah, Lochein komar Hashem al beis Yaakov asher potas Avram. Therefore, Hashem says the house of Yaakov, who freed Avram. What does that mean? Where do you find that Yaakov freed Avram? From Rabbi Yehuda answers, Shibado Mitzar Gidelmanim. He freed Avram from the travail of child raising. Really, these 12 tribes should have been raised by Avram. But Hashem chose other words, right? He'd have many children. But really, Yaakov had the burden of raising the 12 kids. Hashem told him, you're going to have a lot of kids. He didn't have a lot of kids. Yaakov did. And therefore, he got all that. And that's what he redeemed him. He redeemed him from having the pain of raising up 12 kids. V'hainu d'chsiv, and this is what's understood in the pasuk. It says, Lo ato yevosh Yaakov. Now Yaakov will not be ashamed. Okay, what does that mean? Lo ato yevosh Yaakov. Now Yaakov will not be ashamed because of his father Yitzchak. And his face will not pale because of his grandfather. What does that mean? The spiritual level of mankind diminishes from one generation to the next. Kaske, we would not have expected Yaakov to reach the levels of his father Yitzchak and his grandfather Avram. Nevertheless, by virtue of raising 12 tribes with its attendant hardships, Yaakov sees the level of greatness higher even than Avram and Yitzchak. That's the meaning of the pasuk, which is Yaakov had nothing to be ashamed of when compared to Avram and Yitzchak. He did the hardest job of all. Even though normally the generations get worse, well, you go raise 12 kids, Avram. He had enough of a time with the two that he had. Same with Yitzchak. And Yaakov had the 12, and he did it. Okay, end of that little segue. Now we have to finish some old business with Palti ben Laish. And the question is, what was his name? Right? What was his name? What did it say before? His name was... Let me just find it over there. It was called Palti. First time it's called Palti. So now we're going to see there's an inconsistency in the Nach itself. Ksiv, it says in one place his name was Palti. Uksiv, but in another place now he says Paltiel. So what was his name? Was it Palti or Paltiel? So Amar Rav Yochanan, everyone says the answer really is Palti Shmo. His name was really Palti. V'lama nikra shmo Paltiel. Why was he called Paltiel? Shepoltu keel menor. Because God, polat means to save. He was keel, Hashem, saved him from sin. And what was that? Remember, Shaul incorrectly took Michal away from David and gave her to Palti. Now Palti knew that Shaul was wrong. So how this man, and the king said, you're taking my wife to be married. You don't argue or off with your head. So he has to go marry her. He has to live with her as husband and wife, but he knows he's not supposed to, and he can't touch her. And she's a gorgeous woman. So how is he able to control himself? What? Palti El. That Hashem saved him. His name was Palti, but really, Palti El was Hashem's help. How do we know this? Ma'asu, what do you do? Well, Hashem only helps those who helps themselves. So Palti knew it was going to be wrong, so right away, and then wedding night, he did the following. He took a sword and put it between her and him on the wedding night. And Omer, he says, whoever is going to get involved in hanky-panky, Yit Karbachev should be killed with this sword. So right here, he set the tone that we shouldn't do anything. Aye, one second. But then it was time to bring her back. When it was time after Shaul died, but it was time to bring Michal back to David. Yes, Palti had to bring her back. It says Vayelach Ita Isha. It says her husband Palti went with her. Now, if he never had relations with her, how could it be called her husband? The answer is Shenasala ki'isho. He became like a husband to her, meaning he supported her and took care of her and did everything, but didn't touch her. Okay? Now, it's interesting. Look what happens as he takes her. Amazing message here. I've Oksiv, wait a minute. You're going to say he didn't touch her or anything? It says, it's Oksiv, halocha b'chol. He's going with her, walking and crying. Okay, let's get the picture here. Shaul gives it to her as a wife. Okay? And he knows she's not supposed to marry to her. So what does he do? He's going to take care of her, treat her wife, but never touched her. You figure now, David's like, okay, I want my wife back. So he's going to escort her back. You figure he'd be jumping for joy. Baruch Hashem, I'm free from this problem. What's he crying for? Now, the only assumption that he's crying must be he was intimate with her and would felt bad to give her up as a wife. Else, why would he be crying, right? Look at this answer, man. Look at this, a bomb answer. It's such a musser answer. The answer is, why was he crying? Al ha-mitzvah de'ozol minei, over the mitzvah that he now would lose. He was doing a mitzvah every day he was married to this woman by refraining from being with her. And he was crying that he lost the opportunity for the mitzvah. As the Gemara in Makkah says, anyone who's confronted with the opportunity to not vary and holds himself back, it's a big mitzvah. So that's a big lesson for all of us. You know, we think, put on our tefillin, take them off. And not that we have to cry, but to realize, you know, when you have a chance of a mitzvah, now you don't have the mitzvah anymore, it's a terrible thing. Right? You know, if God forbid, let's say a person had a bad stomach flu for 24 hours, he couldn't put tefillin on. It's possible. You should be crying you can't put tefillin on. Someone says, okay, I guess I couldn't put it on today. He appreciated even such a mitzvah he appreciates. He was crying that he'd no longer be able to do the mitzvah. Now, how long was he crying? The pasuk goes on, Ad Bachurim, until they reached a place called Bachurim. Very unusual name for a place. But the other understanding is Shanas Hashem Kebachurim Shlotam Otambia. You know what? They both became, that Michal and Palti, they became like youths who never had intimacy. They never really tasted. They were like children who never had intimacy. Fine. Now, when we see how great Palti was, now we try to compare different generations and who was greater. Of another side topic. Rabbi Yochanan says, Takvasa shal Yosef, the triumph of Yosef, that's when he controlled himself against the wife of Potiphar. And Vunasenu shal Boaz, the modesty of Boaz, when he didn't live with Ruth the first night when she approached him in the granary, pushed it off. So we have Takvasa shal Yosef, and Vunaso shal Boaz. Okay. Tokfa shel Boaz. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me say that again. Let me just do that a little bit. Tokfa shel Yosef. The triumph of Yosef is anvonason, is modest compared to the trial of Boaz. In other words, Yosef's self-control was nothing compared to Boaz's. And tokfa shel Boaz. And Boaz's triumph is anvonason shel Paltiv. Wasn't compared to Paltiv. So we're rating them. Paltivinas was the most difficult, then Boaz, then Yosef. Gomer explains why. Talk for social Yosef, Rosh Hashol Boaz. Why is Yosef not compared to Boaz? Why? Well, first let's hear the story. Because it says by Boaz, Vayehi b'chatzilai, was it the middle of the night? Vayecharish vayelef. And the man was afraid. Boaz was afraid. He turned around, and behold, there was this woman here. So, but it's a very strange word, vayila face. Okay, he turned around. So my vayila face. What does it mean when it says vayila face? Amarav, Rav says, shenasa basar karoshe liftos. It's playing the word liftos. His flesh became as hard as the head of a turnip. Meaning to say, he even though he was very physically aroused, he overcame his temptation. Okay, Ruth was an unmarried woman. She was right next to him. So it's a much more deeper trial. Why was it a deeper trial? Because what was the relationship that the wife of Potiphar had? She was married. So where is one more likely to not sin? When it's with a married woman or a not married woman? With a not married, because you have more excuse. So that's why it's a harder test. Because Yosef says, well, you're a married woman. How could I do it? But Boaz, Ruth was single. So therefore, it's a little bit of a harder test. Okay, let's take it further now. Takfasa shel Boaz, and Vanessa shel Peltiva.
She was
Yeah, he found out it was Ruth. Yeah, he knew right away. Now, how is Boaz is nothing compared to Palti ben Ayish? Well, that's pretty obvious. Because why? Kid Amran, like we already said. Because the king said, you got to live with her. And had to live with her for a couple of years, for a while. So that was obviously much more difficult. All right, another idea similar to that. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, let's see if we can get to the Mishnah. It's another about 8 lines. Let's see if we can get there. Ma'i dechsiv, what's the pasuk mean? We say it every Friday night. You can say this at the Friday night table. Rabos banos asochayel, many women acted valiantly. Va'at olisa kolen, you have acted better than the rest. So who's better than all the rest? Rabos banos asochayel, many children have done, women have done valiantly. This is a Yosef and Boaz. That's referring to Yosef and Boaz. So you see, banos doesn't necessarily mean only daughters. It shows the valiance of Yosef and Boaz. But va'at olis al kulana, you are better than the rest, said Palti ben Laish. That's Palti ben Laish, who acted even more like that. Another interpretation, or going back a pasuk, Amar Shmuel bar Nachman bar Yochanan, let's go back a pasuk in Shira, in Eishes Chayil. Ma'i dechsiv sheker achein vehevel yofi. What does it mean when it says grace is false and beauty is vain? A God-fearing woman should be praised. Those are three clauses. So let's see what it is. Sheker achein, van grace is false, say Yosef. Where Yosef was able to overcome that. Vehevel yofi, and beauty is nothingness, zeh Boaz, that's Boaz. But yiras Hashem, hiti salol, but fear Hashem, that's praiseworthy, zeh Palti ben Laish, that's Palti ben Laish. So again, ascending order. Another interpretation of ascending orders, Dover Acher, Sheker Achein, grace is false, zeh Torah shel Moshe, that's the generation of Moshe. That was a good generation. Vehevel yofi, but beauty is in vain, zeh Torah shel Yeshua, that's the generation of Yeshua, which was even better. Yiras Hashem hiti salol, that one who fears God is even greater, is the Dor Shel Chizkiyo. That's the generation of Chizkiyo. Why? Although the extent of Torah knowledge was great in generations of Moshe and Yeshua, it was superseded by the Torah knowledge during King Chizkiyo. If you recall, Chizkiyo made a revolution to make tshuva, because his father was a Rasha, and they said they checked from Dun to Beersheba and found the littlest kid knew all the laws, the most intricate laws. So as much as they were great in Moshe and Yeshua's time, Chizkiyo's time was even better. Final interpretation, Davar Acher, Sheker Achein, what's that referring to? Grace is false. Zed Dor Shel Moshe of Yeshua, that's a generation. Did I just say that? It goes together. Sheker Achein is both generations, Moshe and Yeshua. Bring them together. V'hev la'yofi, beauty is vain, Zed Dor Shel Chizkiyo. But there's even one that's even better than that. Yiras Hashem hiti salol. What? The fear of God. Fear is most praiseworthy. Zed Dora shel Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. It's a generation of Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Eloi. Because why? Famous Gemara. Armalav al Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. They said about Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, they were so poor. Sheyeshisha talmidim machzizim talasecha. That 6 students would cover themselves up with one cloak and va'oskim Torah and still would learn Torah even though they were very poor. They continue to learn Torah. And that, so obviously the question they all asked the Bali Musar, how can 6 people share one cloak? There's only one answer. When each person says to the other one, you take the cloak. And that's how 6 people are able to cover it up. And we got to the Mishnah, good stopping place.